is on.
Introducing Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Skinny Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I am super excited for my guest today. Her name is Nicole Christofferson. She is a realtor originally starting in Newport Beach, California, but then she's transitioned more recently to Austin, Texas. She's a broker and she's building out her team there. So I'm really excited to talk to her about the real estate markets there and just her experience in general. My name is Jessica Washington. I'm the host and looking forward to this conversation. So Nicole, how are you?
I am great. It's just a rainy day in Austin, but we'll take it because it's going to be lush and green and beautiful for all of our upcoming listings. So I am fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little rainy here after being 85 degrees yesterday. So this weather is crazy. But anyway, let me jump into it. First and foremost, how did you get started in real estate?
I got started in real estate 20 years ago upon returning to the United States. I was living abroad after I graduated from college for my undergraduate. And when I came back, my family, who's also entrepreneurs, was like, hey, before you start teaching elementary education, why don't you just try real estate? You know, our friends that are in real estate tend to be able to do business while they're traveling and stuff. And we think it'd be really great for you, you know, as a, you know, future family and things like that, to just have that flexibility. So I got really uncomfortable. It was in 2002. So the market was doing pretty well. And I just went on as many interviews as I could. And I said, hey, I'm a bilingual elementary school educator, college degree here. And I just want to try something new. So I interviewed with mortgage companies and all kinds of different facets of the real estate industry and ended up becoming a full-time assistant to a broker associate at a very cool boutique real estate firm that was in Newport Beach. So that was my start. And I just jumped in not knowing very much about real estate or business in general. And I was taken under some pretty knowledgeable wings and learned how to do business accurately and with integrity. And I was surrounded by all the top producing agents in coastal Orange County. So great peer group around me. And I haven't looked back since, really.
Awesome. And you know what? I've talked to a lot of people that were former school teachers and now in real estate. So I feel like there's a lot of transferable skills that you learn from that world that really do well in real estate.
Well, you're helping people. So you're either helping the youth learn or you're helping adults, you know, educate themselves on the real estate process and, you know, homeownership. So it does kind of have the same heartstring in a lot of ways.
Awesome. And then you started out as an assistant. So you got to kind of have almost an apprenticeship rather than just jumping out there full time, you know, with no parachute. So that also is very helpful. Great way to start.
Yeah. So I closed tens of millions of dollars of real estate for somebody else and yeah, had a paid internship. They were growing their family at that time. So it gave him the flexibility to be with his family a lot more and gave me a real hands-on learning experience to be in the files and in the field and with our clients. So I'm very grateful for that. I definitely learned from a very trusted advisor. So that was important.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about just generally your experience in Newport Beach, and then you transferred to Austin, which is a completely different market. So let's just start with Newport Beach.
Yeah. So Orange County, I was born and raised in coastal Orange County. So when I started my brokerage in 2014, because I was formerly a broker owner in Orange County before I relocated to Austin, but we'll get into that. You know, it was my sphere of influence. So I went to private schools my whole life. And upon returning back to the state of California after college and living abroad, you know, that's where my peer group was. And so from my family having raised me in the coastal Orange County area and all of my peers from my private schools being dispersed throughout, it was really easy for me to recall the neighborhoods and the areas and the demographics and see the growth and the regentrification of different areas and stuff like that. So it was really fun being in the Orange County marketplace, and it still is. I'm still really involved with the Newport Beach Association of Realtors. I was the chairman of the political affairs committee. I no longer am, but I still participate and get on virtually with them. And every time I'm back in Orange County, I'm participating in something within our board of realtors or within the community. It's very important to me that we keep a pulse on what the cities are doing and planning departments are doing and what we can do to help the members. I don't think enough realtors are involved with the boards and, you know, our board plays an important part of keeping us informed and, you know, helping us in our professional lives. So Newport Beach is fantastic. And I've watched my friends size up in their homes, and I've helped a lot of our friends and family, and even my children's friends and families from their schooling while we were still there. And it's great. My business is built on sphere of influence and referral primarily. And it's grown throughout my career now, for two decades. So I'm helping, you know, my friends' parents downsize, and I'm helping my friends upsize. And it's wonderful to have repeat business. And it is different than Austin because it's a different location, but our markets are really similar. There's high demand in both of these markets. And so taking my knowledge from the fast-paced Southern California coastal lifestyle and the level of luxury marketing that takes and bringing it to Austin, where that's not as familiar. You know, the Austin marketplace has really boomed in the last several years, and the way business is done here wasn't quite as up to date as California or Orange County. So it's been really fun being able to implement my, you know, exclusive representation and how we handle our transactions and our marketing in this marketplace, because the price points are soaring, demand's high. And both markets are at limited inventory, so they play nicely together. I feel like my knowledge from Southern California is really benefiting my clients here in Austin.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's a great migration. There's a lot of businesses. There's a lot of families that are transitioning from California to Texas, specifically Austin, for, you know, a number of different reasons. A lot of them being like the cost of living, taxes in California are crazy. And so Texas is just, you know, a little bit more friendly and open to, you know, newcomers, I guess.
It is, but it's catching up. I mean, our price points are climbing. You know, property taxes here are based on assessed value annually. So whereas in California, property taxes are based on your sales price and they're fixed. There's a lot of things here that are changing that are starting to catch up to what California is. And so it's people are coming, not just from California. We're seeing, you know, an influx of population from honestly throughout the nation. So it's fun. It's a melting pot. And it's a lot like what Scottsdale was when I was going to Arizona State University. It's kind of melting pot of people from all over. And it's great because we learned so much more about people, and we're all establishing our new home here together. So it's been really nice for our community.
Awesome. So now you're a broker as well as being, you know, a really active salesperson. Can you tell me about that experience of being a broker and, you know, having to grow your team, supervise people, you're on the hook for their transactions and whatnot. Tell me about that.
Yeah, no, it was a big decision when I chose to go independent and start my brokerage in California in 2014. And it really had gotten to a point in our industry where the third-party aggregates like Zillow and Realtor.com and stuff like that were becoming more predominant. And I just was at a point where my brokerage wasn't able to help me in the means that I needed to continue to grow my business. And I was using these new technology, the new technology and these new tools to help me. And so I really went on my own with the faith that my clients fully supported me. They were hiring me and not the brokerage I was at. And I did speak with several of my very good clients. And so once I had that confidence and went on my own, yes, I had to learn the facets of operating a brokerage, you know, maintaining trust accounts and the documentation and the full responsibilities. So that came with another level of, you know, responsibility and time that I had to put into it. But once I was able to get my systems and my procedures defined, and I always had full-time assistants and help, and they were more like interns. So my, you know, assistants would come on, they'd work with me side by side, and then they would transition to being part of my team and my, you know, my sales partner. So everybody knew how I did business. Everybody knew how accurate I was with my filing system and my digital files and how everything went. And so it's really easy to manage a team when they're doing things accurately and they're, you know what I mean, following our systems and stuff like that, because I keep, even back then, I kept digital records and paper records. So we had all our files accessible at all times. And that was great. And every time I had anything come up in a transaction, I consulted with CAR's legal hotline if I had to, educated myself. And now let's talk about like 10 years later, now that I've transitioned to being a broker associate in California, and we can talk a little bit more about what prompted me to do that. I feel like I'm an attorney. I feel like I look at our contracts so diligently, having had that responsibility on my shoulders and for my clients, that my contract knowledge is tip top. And now I'm able to apply that to my clients' transactions here in Austin, where we don't have as many disclosures and legalities in our contracts as we do in California. And so I really feel like that experience has helped me, you know, be able to help my clients. So I'm not just slamming signatures and dates and prices on contracts. I really know how to write intricate addendums and understand, you know, really how to foster terms that'll help our clients. So
yeah, that's great. Yeah. Because the broker, you know, the buck stops with you. You've got all the liability, you've got all the responsibility. And it's great that you said you basically promoted people from within. So they were used to how you worked, used to all your systems and your nuances and how you like to be really intricately detailed with everything, and then, you know, grew them internally from there. So that's great. So why the designation broker associate?
So when I transitioned to Austin and my family relocated here, I just could not walk away from my 20 years of business in California. All my friends and family are still there. And so I maintained my brokerage and managed it from remote. And I would go back and forth about every 4 to 5 weeks. And I got my license here in Texas because I had to start all over and do the 130 hours and take a test again, even though I had all that experience. Yeah. And once I got my license, I just decided I needed to be a salesperson immediately so I can get my license hung right away. I was facilitating relocations for my husband's managing partners and staff and things like that. And so I hung my license as a sales partner with eXp Realty. And I had vetted other big brokerages like Coldwell Banker and Compass and other brokerages around here. And when I came across eXp, it's a new way of doing business. It's a digital global brokerage. And so I had to get my brain around that. And everybody I'd met here kept pointing me to one person. Her name's Elizabeth Riley. And she's a really big agent at eXp. She's a big icon. She does a lot with the owners and corporate and things like that. And so I met with her and we talked about it, and she kind of clarified all of my concerns or things that I was really unclear with how it operated and what it would look like for me to partner with them as a sales partner here in Texas. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind. How real estate's been done is pretty archaic. It really hasn't evolved much other than us using digital transactions or our forms being updated. And the fact that I have a brokerage of 87,000 agents plus now, mm-hmm, in 22 countries that I can collaborate with on, you know, workplace with the click of a button is powerful for my clients. My clients were going from California to Florida, California to New Jersey, like, my clients were starting to move throughout the nation, and I knew the power of that network, yep, was priceless. And so when I hung my license here and got to know the systems and the meta universe and our workplace and how it all worked, operating your business digitally, being able to get in touch with your broker or your managing partners or transaction team with the click of a button in less than 90 seconds is exactly what I needed. I was going between two marketplaces. I needed resources quick, and I needed to be technologically advanced, right? Because I have to be connected with people being remote. And it connected me with a whole network of professionals that collaborate and share what they're doing in their business. And I can take it and use what I want or not. And if I have a question, I can get an answer rapidly about how they're doing their CRM or different systems that help me be able to function better for my clients and my team. So my questions were answered pretty quickly once I had my license hung here in Austin. And naturally, a broker doesn't really want you operating a business that's not at their brokerage in another state. So we kept talking about it and talking about it. And about 6 months later, 8 months later, I decided to transition NMC Realty in California to be brokered by EXP because my team in California, my clients in California needed these resources and needed this network for doing business better. And then I immediately got in touch with corporate and started talking to him about luxury, right? Like EXP being global and being nationwide has this set branding and a set stigma because, right, every brokerage in the United States has a reputation, right? RE/MAX has, everybody has their reputation, their branding, what they look like. So for me, for our Southern California market, I needed more of a luxury branding presence and just something that went along with what my clients in that marketplace needed. And so I'm a founding member of the luxury division for EXP Realty now. So I had to qualify with my production. It gives us unique luxury branding. It gives us an internal luxury network. It gives my clients reach throughout the world when I'm marketing their properties. And it's pretty exclusive. So it's just gotten better and better. And they're continuing to grow and add resources and add these avenues that are fundamental to our business and using our technology to benefit our clients and our businesses. So it's been pretty powerful. I'm really happy I made the change. And I'm really happy I have a huge family of professionals that I can collaborate with. And it's just been great. So it's time for everybody to start innovating in our industry. Stop doing it the old way. Like the power of networking and collaboration is priceless.
That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations on that. That kind of answered my next question about, you know, how has it been kind of operating in two different markets that, you know, there are a lot of similarities, but there are a lot of differences. And then, like you said, leveraging that technology and you being a founding member of this luxury arm of EXP, because yeah, when I think of EXP, I think of kind of, you know, your average middle market transactions. I definitely don't associate them with luxury. So that's awesome that you've been kind of able to bring.
Well, don't you think the luxury, like if I'm going to list a $5 million house, I don't think the consumer is going to come from next door. Like most likely the consumer is going to come from another marketplace and quite possibly in Austin or in California, somewhere international. Mm-hmm. So I have these resources now to connect with brokers in other countries that are at EXP and other publications and things that are global. And it's just super powerful. I don't have to go through corporate to do it. I have access to it in my technology platform that I can access any second of any day.
Awesome.
So, and the only other difference is I do listing presentations virtually now. So if I'm going to do a list, I did a listing presentation this week for a $2.2 million house in Yorba Linda in California. And I was on virtually with my team and the clients, and I've done them in San Diego. I mean, we've done them all year long. All my listing appointments in California have been virtual and I've gotten every single listing.
Awesome. That's definitely helpful, you know, during the pandemic when we were kind of confined a little bit. So
were we though? Because we were an essential industry. I mean, girl, I was going out with a mask and I had red lips drawn on to try and make people smile. And we were out working that entire time. I really don't feel like I took time off during the pandemic other than maybe doing marketing a little bit different.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like real estate was booming during the pandemic, but I just mean, as far as, you know, having the mobility to travel around as much, you know, people were wary of you coming in and out of their house and doing appointments. So it's good that, you know, technology was already in place to be able to do everything remotely.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, no, it's been fun and it's been so much more productive, which means we're able to have more time with our clients. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just made everything a lot easier.
Awesome. So tell us about Austin market. Like what's the state, you know, there's, like I said, a lot of people that are interested in, you know, transitioning to this area. So what would somebody need to know? What are some considerations if they're looking to either physically move there or they're looking to just invest there?
Oh goodness. Those are two really big questions. I think if you're looking to move to Austin, this metro area has so many different styles of neighborhoods and styles of living and areas that are, you know, obviously great to invest in because they're up and coming and they're being redone. But I think taking the time to explore the different areas of Austin would be very helpful because downtown is very different than West Austin and Hill Country. And north of Austin in like Round Rock and Leander and Cedar Park, there's so much development and great schools and everything's focused around family and is a little bit newer, more suburban. East Austin is regentrifying a little bit. You're seeing a lot of homes get redone and things kind of be up and coming, but the school systems are a little bit different. So every part of Austin has something unique to offer. And I think taking time to explore those and what you need in a home is really important. We did it just to give you an example, I landed in Austin for the first time February 7th, 2021, and I was under contract in 48 hours on a home. Mm-hmm. But what I did in those 48 hours was make sure I hit every area that we had spotted on our radar. And you know what I mean? And you know, getting into those neighborhoods and feeling, you know, the streets and seeing the schools and seeing what the homes have to offer and things like that was really important to me. So we made sure we explored numerous areas before we settled on what we were going to, where we wanted to live. And I highly suggest everybody do that, because a lot of people move here and go for a particular neighborhood because of the school or something like that, and find that the commuting or things like that kind of work against them, and they end up moving a second time shortly thereafter. So yeah, I think it just has more to offer than one would think. Hill country is beautiful, and it's just what each person's looking for. So take your time. It has a lot of unique areas to be able to live in. And if you're going to invest in Austin, oh my goodness, we are developing. It's just developing farther and farther and farther out. And I think your investment opportunities are vast too. I mean, there's a high demand. I've got a lot of people here that are renting, waiting for homes to be built. We have a lot of people here that are renting for education purposes. And, you know, I think both markets doing great. If you want to invest in Austin, definitely give NMC a call. And if you're looking to purchase, we have a little series on YouTube called The Best Of, and we just started highlighting areas of Austin. So we're putting videos out on our YouTube channel every other month about these different areas in Austin, just to be able to tell you from a consumer standpoint, get out in the downtown areas of, like, we did Round Rock last month, and we did a drive and talk in Spanish Oaks. And we're kind of doing some fun stuff just to try and help people explore the areas.
Okay, I have to check that out. I've been to Austin, and I will say they have good food. And that was a couple of years ago. So I'm sure they got some new stuff that I need to check out.
There is not a shortage of good restaurants and food in all the different areas of Austin. Honestly, we travel quite a ways to go try new restaurants and things. So that was something that was really surprising to us, coming from Southern California and feeling like we had really good cuisine and varied, you know, cultural cuisines and things like that. It's been amazing here. We have so many good restaurants, and we find a new one almost every month or two, you know, that we add to our favorites list. There's always so much to entertain yourselves with too. We spend a lot of time outside between the distilleries and the pickleball courts at the wineries and downtown. Everything is geared just around being outside and being active. So big in sports, tons of sports going on here between football and Moody Center and basketball. And it's just, I'm not complaining at all. It was a transition to transition our family and to expand our businesses here to Texas. But our lifestyle is not hurting at all. We're enjoying it. We're happier. We're healthier. The weather's just as crazy in both places.
Yeah, for sure. What about from more of the technical aspect? You mentioned before, like, Texas doesn't have as many disclosures as California. What are some maybe like more X's and O's type thing, or like with the laws or anything that someone from out of state might want to definitely know about if they're looking to invest or move to Texas?
So I think one of the things that a lot of people need to familiarize themselves with the contract is that there's an option period, and then there's also earnest money. So your option period is going to be around, you know, $500, give or take, depending on the caliber of the home. And that's non-refundable. And that gives you that option period to be able to back out for any reason and not have any earnest money liability or anything like that. So you're able to answer all your questions and do all your stuff. Whereas the earnest money, like in any transaction, yes, it's refundable, but you get more information throughout that time, and you've already started your lending process most likely and stuff like that. So just know that it's not just earnest money or, you know, your refundable down payment. There's an option fee as well on contracts most often. That's kind of unique to Texas. Anything else with like the intricacies of the transaction? I feel like they're pretty straightforward compared to California. California, we have a defensible fire hazard report and disclosure we have to do now. There's just things that just have been added to our required contracts like year after year. Whereas here it's a little more straightforward. And we're pretty involved in California, where we do agent visual inspection disclosures, and we're writing a lot of what we see on the property and validating that we were there and we see the condition of the property. Whereas here in Texas, it's between the buyer and the seller. Once they come to an agreement, yes, you can advise your buyer to do an inspection and do stuff, but you're not really writing anything disclosure-wise as an agent like you do in California to cover yourself or make sure, you know, you're validating that you've been there and a part of the transaction. So those are two kind of differences.
Okay, that's a huge difference.
Right.
About transactions that I've done, like in the DC, Maryland area, even in Florida, there is, you know, a ton of disclosures, and then the actual agent is held liable if, you know, some of those things aren't what they say they are. So it's almost like they wow us.
And that's why they always say in Texas, like, don't waive your option fee. Like, you need that option fee, because if there's no option time or option period in a contract, the agents are liable for not having contractually had their clients take that time to be able to do their due diligence and be able to back out, you know what I mean, without any question. Mm-hmm. So that's why that option fee is really important in our contracts here in Texas.
Okay. And do you have to have an attorney for transactions in Texas or no?
You do not.
Okay.
Title company and the agents. Yep.
Yep. Okay. All right. So let's just talk about something more general. You mentioned someone, Elizabeth Riley, but is there anyone else that you would say has been a mentor or really played a big part in your success?
I mean, I did mention one name. And then second, I would say here in Austin, I've been in the business for 20 years, but I'm going to relate it to the biggest transitional change in my real estate career, which has been in these last 2 years. And outside of Elizabeth, my friend Vanessa Nunez here in Austin has been super influential to me. She's a boss babe like you and I, and she has an unstoppable morning routine. She puts out positive messages every single day, and she's just a badass. She does farm and ranch, and she scoots around this entire state of Texas and facilitates business, not just in the Austin area. And she sets really high goals for herself and doesn't stop until she gets them. So she's been a fun influence and inspiration to me. And I'm so happy I met her since I came to Austin.
Awesome. So what's next? You have so much success in two different markets. What's next for you?
Well, I started a little passion project last year, and my family and I have a family motto, and we believe that you work hard and you smile large. And so since my kids were very, very little and I worked 7 days a week, I would say work hard and they would respond, smile large, mom. And so we always said it, and our whole community in California knew that and saw us tag it on everything. But when we came to Austin, my daughter had some difficulties in school last year with friendships and things and was getting bullied. And so we decided to come together with her and say, hey, let's just put work hard, smile large out there in Austin and just let people know who we are. Like, we love positivity. We're always building people up. We build each other up. We work really hard and we're proud of it. So we put a logo to it and we put it out there, and we started doing little community events, bringing adults and children together and trying to mentor the children to network with one another and pour into one another and lean in on one another and be proud of their hard work and find positivity in everything they do. And it's been a year now. And I hosted 9 events last year, and we did a nationwide vision mapping event in January. And then we seconded it and did a youth vision mapping event. And we've got 3 events coming up the next couple months and some Boss Babe Unite dinners and an end of school pool party. But more importantly, I am launching the Work Hard, Smile Large podcast later this month. It's going to premiere on April 28th. And I'm going to be able to have all of these phenomenal entrepreneurs and educators that I know and realtors, I mean, all industries. I have chefs coming on, and we're going to talk about, you know, what it means to be an entrepreneur and what work-life balance is and what they're doing in their community. And there's going to be various topics, but at the end of the day, I want the youth that we mentor and that we inspire and that are in our everyday lives to see that it takes hard work and that everybody smiles at the end of all the hard work and that we all learn and grow from one another. And so I'm really excited to have the podcast premiere and be able to connect more people and hear more people's stories. And again, have the youth hear that as well, because they'll be coming on future episodes too. So Really excited. It's not going to be individual events. I'm going to be able to have the podcast episodes shared with everybody throughout the entire year, every month and every week.
Awesome. So. Yeah. Congratulations on that. And I absolutely love the motto. I love the motto. So the podcast is going to be weekly, or is it going to be monthly?
Right now it's going to premiere April 28th, and I'm hoping to do bi-weekly initially. You have a podcast.
It's a lot of work.
I want consistency. I mean, we have a list of 60 guests right now. So it's about function as well, because I still want to be able to help my clients and run my real estate business. And I want to be super present for the Work Hard Small Large podcast and intentional and authentic. And so right now it'll be bi-weekly. So we'll have two episodes a month and we'll gear up from there, because we're not going to stop. There's lots of people that we want to have their stories told and hear what their legacy is going to be and what their why is. Who doesn't want to hear what somebody else's why is and what inspires them? It's powerful.
That's amazing. Definitely congratulations on that. I will definitely be checking it out and, you know, helping to promote it as much as I can. So I appreciate that. All right. So
we'll get you on as a guest too.
Oh, I would love to. Let me know. I'm there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
So this has been a great conversation, but I want to transition now to the last segment of the show, which is called The Fabulous Four. It's four questions that I ask every guest. So just go from here. What is your favorite book about real estate?
Well, I listen to a lot of stuff about real estate, but since I got into the industry, I have read and listened to a book called Fierce Conversations by Susan Scott. I always go back to it. It reminds us of how to communicate with other people. And that's been one that I always go back to. Another little one that I read a couple times here and there is Tribes by Seth Godin, but that's not really real estate. That's really just teamwork and collaboration and community.
Right. Well, look, I love books. That doesn't have to necessarily be about real estate, but I feel like everything is real estate. So whether it's negotiation, communication, it's about entrepreneurship, it's about self-development, you know, getting more confidence, it all helps within your real estate career. So
yeah, there's just, you know, it's relationship-based, right? And relationships take communication, they take trust, you know what I mean? So a lot of the books do help us with that, and they don't have to specifically be real estate related.
Awesome. I love that one new book I've got to check out for sure. That's why I love that question. All right. Secondly, is what advice would you give to your younger self when you were just getting started in your real estate career?
Don't try to be like everybody else. Lean in. Knowledge is power. Just know your stats, know what you're doing and why you're doing it, and build trust. You don't need to fake it at all. You have the knowledge, you understand your market, you understand a transaction. Don't be intimidated that you don't have decades of experience. Let that chip go. You just need to lean in and know that the knowledge that you have about your marketplace and how to do a transaction will take you so far.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, everyone is their unique self. So people are coming to you for whatever, you know, specific relationship they have with you. They know that, you know, if you're just starting, you don't have years of experience. So just play upon your strengths.
Yeah. And it goes back to like our business is relationship based, right? Like if somebody feels like you're trying to sell them in real estate, it's really hard to gain their trust. So I feel like if you know your marketplace and you know your stats and you know how to do a transaction, they can trust you because you're doing it. You know what I mean? That's professional. Absolutely. And that's what I think people look for, is trust in their professionals.
Absolutely. All right. So third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
Oh my goodness. I really want to learn more about short-term rentals. It intrigues me. A lot of my peers have short-term rentals, and I want to learn more about that because I love design. I'd love to have some short-term rentals and have them be kind of funky with like that Palm Springs, kind of like Art Deco-y kind of style. And I don't know, that's in the near future here, just to play around with short-term rentals.
Well, you're in a great market for it, Austin. I know there's a lot of cities around the country that are starting to clamp down. As far as I know, Austin's still pretty wide open with that. So
it is. And now the luxury division's launched. I got my teams both running in both places and we're doing great. So I'll have a side hustle at some point and just try out short-term rentals. But the podcast is the main focus right now.
Okay. All right. And lastly, can you give a shout out? You've already given some, but if you have another shout out to a woman in real estate.
I know, you're killing me. Another woman in real estate shout out. I love my friend Renee Funk. I just met her last year. She's in Florida. She's super inspirational. She's big into her systems and stuff, but she's got a big heart and she has fantastic communication skills. So she's so articulate in what she says and how she talks to people that it inspires me to be more particular about my responses with people and getting, you know, our conversations more vulnerable. So she's a beautiful person. It's been fun getting to know her. I'd love to give her a shout out. Awesome. Renee.
Shout out, Renee. All right. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to speak with you about buying or selling their house, or they want to just, you know, pick your brain, they want to work for you, whatever the case may be?
My goodness, there are so many ways. You can email me at info@nmcrealty.com. You can message me on Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel because you'll get a lot of information from our Ask NMC series and our Best Of series and all of our videos we're putting out. If there's anything hot hitting the market, I'm on there talking about it now and putting shorts out. So definitely subscribe to our NMC Realty YouTube channel, or just email me directly, info@nmcrealty.com, or go to our website, www.nmcrealty.com, and we will respond. We are there and ready to answer questions at all times. That is what we love to do. That's why we have our series Ask NMC on YouTube.
Awesome. I love people that are just sharing information just to help people. You know, I always think of the best thing to do is provide value before you try to sell somebody something. So,
I've got 20 years of experience and it's so fun just sharing knowledge. You know what I mean? I feel like collaborating and sharing knowledge is just so powerful. So I love it.
Awesome. Any last words of wisdom for our listeners?
Just don't forget to work hard and smile large every day.
There you go. There you go. All right, Nicole, I really appreciate your time. This was a fabulous conversation. I enjoyed it so much. And I'm definitely looking forward to your podcast. I'm going to go check out your YouTube series because I want to know more about, you know, the goings on around Austin. So when I come visit, I know where to go.
Beautiful. And then I'm going to send you an email with our guest form for the Work Hard, Smile Large podcast. So I'd love to have you as a guest as well.
Absolutely. I'm there. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, signing off here. My guest for today, Miss Nicole Christofferson. She's a dynamo realtor. And I'm looking forward to all the things that she's got coming up soon. So thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.